Well, welcome back.
Who wants to be a GUI when you could be a girl?
I just want to be a girl.
Let's talk about it. So,
we're Katy Perry.
This is the Madonna episode.
Yeah, like, this is the Katy Katz episode.
We filmed a little getting ready with us for about 8 hours. Which, honestly, the video is probably 25 minutes, but there was, I mean, how much can we show on camera?
It's not that we can't show the process, because we did, but it's like, we showed the process of, like, it being entertaining, because trust and believe.
Girl, you don't want to see what we went through. Yeah, every step of this.
The
every
lashes.
Shade, every, oh, you pre-made your lashes, and you put them on, and they fell, because they were too heavy.
Gia Gunn.
Totally.
She's like, the dolls are the dolls, Trix. Yeah, what can I say?
At this point, Trix, the dolls are the dolls. We were also saying just the level of ambition is always a little too much. Like this afternoon, right when we were about to get started, I was shaving. And I said to you, I was like, bitch, why didn't I grab a teal wig, throw on a brick black brow, and just do a Edge of Glory look? Like, why did I do this?
Yeah.
Why did I do it? What did it get me? Have you seen that?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God.
The definition of this, because that beauty video, as well as the shorts we made for this, are probably going to get 1,000 views. But listen, we do it for you, Chitlins. This episode is long overdue.
Way long overdue.
We kept having to push it back. This.
Yeah.
Because my merch is still not here.
Yeah. So I'm wearing the 10th anniversary Gaga merch, which I wore in the last video.
Yes.
In the last beauty video.
I don't know.
I think one of the videos, I just wore the other piece of merch.
Yeah.
You and I ordered it on the same day. You ordered it hours before me.
Yeah.
So we ordered same day.
Yeah.
Hours before me, you ordered yours. I said, oh, it did come out today. Let me place my order.
Yeah.
Shipping was January 5th, estimated. Mine shipped on the 5th.
Yeah.
Arrived on the 7th.
Totally. Mine is
Two days later, yeah. I said, oh.
I know. Also, I don't want to hear anything this entire episode. I will be playing with my hair like this, because you can't tell me I'm not Pamela Anderson. So I am literally just going to be like,
with your synthetic ponytail.
Girl.
Yeah, but when you have long hair like that, your hair is to your hip.
Oh, girl. I don't do anything half-assed. If you're interested, I can... this wig, Amazon lace front, the top.
And lace back.
And lace crack.
Wait, is it full 360 lace?
Yes. And mama, you should have seen how this wig came out the bag. I'm talking shadow root into ashy gray blonde, blowout, ready for the red carpet. Normally you get the wigs that they're styled on Amazon.
It looks like a shake and go wig.
And then they come in the bag and it looks like someone peed in it and stuck it in the bag. This came styled like I've never seen before. So I obviously just like chignonged this back. And then these are they hook in with a tie just to build up. And obviously I built up the ponytail and did the thing. But yeah, so this is the skull look, obviously, from Born This Way.
Yeah.
And what are you rocking?
So this is the, correct me if I'm wrong, what year was this Met Gala?
I think it was 2019. Because I'm thinking
was no 2020.
It was before the pandemic.
Yeah, because she was also, I remember, because the lip she was wearing was hot pink, and it was from the old House Labs.
Totally.
Before the rebrand, so that makes sense. It was 2019.
Absolutely.
Chromatica wasn't even out yet.
May of 2020. That was during the pandemic, yeah.
Yeah, so this was the 2019.
We were all listening to the bootleg of Stupid Love for 9 months before.
Remember, nothing was worse, though, than Perfect Illusion.
Oh, God, girl.
The demo.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Yes. We'll get into it.
Mama, perfect illusion.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. This is so exciting. We asked you guys on YouTube, like we said last week, for your questions.
Yes.
You guys asked so many questions between the beauty channel and the podcast channel, the YouTube channel. It was like almost 250 questions. So it was a lot to comb through.
Yeah.
But we picked the best of the best. Let's dive in with question number one, which is from, they didn't leave their name, but this is from Clumsy Cajun. First of all, girl obsessed with the red hair. Did you eat the Gaga X Oreo cookie collab in 2021? They were gorgeous, but they didn't taste like magic and unicorns like I assumed they would. No, they did not, baby boo.
And well, do you know, So to clear that up really quick.
Yeah.
They were just the golden vanilla Oreo flavor. There was no flavor change.
Gaga there was nothing special about them.
It was nothing special. It was literally the design on the Oreos was like her like album cover thing, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
The Chromatica symbol, but the flavor itself
was a golden Oreo.
Was just the golden Oreo.
And
why wouldn't we go like pink, like because they came out with cotton candy Oreos. Why not do something like that?
I know. Well, maybe it was like too tight of a turnaround, but fun fact, one of my best friends' mom worked on, like helped create the Halloween Oreos, like the orange with the orange.
Yeah.
And it was like, I guess it took, you know, a very long time to like, who knows, to make it. So maybe they just couldn't make a new flavor. But like, girl, again, we don't half-ass anything. Don't half-ass. Don't tell me I'm getting Lady Gaga Oreos and give me a fucking golden Oreo dyed, not even pink. She was faded.
She was salmon colored.
A salmon Oreo with mold green in the middle. Yes.
And mama, let me tell you something. All the memes coming from it, because they came out right before Christmas. It was like Santa, because all the gays leaving out the Chromatica Oreos, and it was somebody throwing up pink, and it was like Santa on Christmas.
Totally.
Night. I was like screaming. But you know what? We need to stop talking about her, because let's bring her out.
Let's bring her out.
Say it to her face.
We have Lady Gaga Oreos in the studio.
Unopened,
girl.
And
because, you know, Casey's ass bought these and
I have 12 packs in my house. I thought I could sell them.
Open them up.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Guess when these expired? I want a specific month, day, and year.
Okay.
Chromatica came out in 2020. I'm going to tell you that.
May 2020. So it had to be February 6th, 2021.
You are not far off. 2021, yes.
Yeah.
July 26th, 2021. They expired, mama.
And not Best Buy.
I'll eat it.
I've barely eaten today. We all saved these like they were going to be worth money.
Am I bugging or do they look more pink?
I don't know. It's been a while.
Watch them be like wet.
And
Oreos get wet and you just like slide into them.
And if this cream was moldy, we wouldn't know. Cheers.
Cheers.
They're just bad.
Your tongue is turning green.
Yeah. They're just bad, girl.
Bad. Girl. Honestly, I would fuck up.
No.
I would fuck this up.
No, girl. Dusty. When it hits the back of your throat, that's the expired kick it in. When it's in the back of your throat about to swap, tell me that aftertaste ain't dusty.
You want to know what I want to know?
What?
Scan to unlock a fun experience.
No experience.
There was no experience. It was the Art Pop app. We'll get into that too.
This is my dream episode. Oh my God.
Girl, do you remember the Art Pop app? It just played the album.
Had the what was that? Dean Koontz?
Jeff Koons.
Jeff Koons. And Koontz is me.
Do you remember when it got bleeped on the radio for the first time? Because they thought she said cunt.
But they didn't bleep. Poker face, fuck my face. By the way, that's what the lyrics are. No one knows that.
For 10 fucking years, they were playing it on the radio.
I know.
And nobody was bleeping. And she goes.
And she admitted it.
Yeah. And she goes.
One radio station bleeped it. And she called it out at a concert saying, you were the only ones to catch on that I was saying, poker face, fuck her face.
Yeah. And poker face is all about being like the bisexual experience. Having exactly. sex with a man, thinking of a woman.
Yes.
For her.
You need to stop eating those because you are going to text me at midnight saying you have fucking food poisoning. And I am not going to feel bad for you when you are throwing, when you have green diarrhea tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Should we dive into these questions?
Yeah.
So, and the reason we wanted to do this, y'all, is because we are encyclopedias on this woman. So we're going to dive in.
About certain things.
I'm going to say it.
Okay, say it.
Listen, I love y'all. The amount of questions we got about how does she perform live with her fibromyalgia? How does she manage her fibromyalgia? We're not her doctors.
You know what? Can I tell you something, though?
Yeah.
I know how she manages her migraines, and that's with Nurtec OTC.
We're going to break. Fuck you. And we're back. All right, the first question. What was your first memory of being introduced to Gaga? Kayla K, P.S. Love, love, love you both. Love you too, Kelly.
Love you.
Your makeup looks fierce in that little thumbnail. So I remember driving. I was a sophomore in high school. My sister was a senior. And Poker Face was on the radio, or it was on my sister's iPod. And I was like in the car. And I was like, what is this? And my sister was like, I don't know. Like, she just heard it and downloaded it or whatever, but she didn't remember the name of the artist. And I looked at the phone and I remember saying to my sister, I was like, it's like someone called Lady Gaga or whatever I said at the, and I was like, that was the first time I ever heard her. Wow. Was driving to high school. I heard Poker Face.
It was on the radio. My mom was driving me to school. Mm-hmm. I was in, oh my God, it was 2008. And it was Just Dance.
Yes.
And Just Dance on the radio. It was, and people, Z100, I will never forget, they were making fun of her. The one lyric when she's like, da da doo doo, they were like, oh, it sounds like someone's shitting on the dance floor, basically.
Okay.
And they were like, reading her.
Oh, she did shit all over that dance floor.
Oh, yeah, mama.
Like, and fucking everybody else got on their knees and
ate it up. Ate it the fuck up. And now it's a platinum fucking hit, bitch.
Totally. And she wrote it in 10 minutes.
She wrote Just Dance and Poker Face in 10 minutes and Born This Way. Like, yeah, she, insane. Killer. And that was the first memory I ever had, is that this song came on. I was like, oh, it's kind of catchy. And then when it cut, they were like, they immediately started making fun of her for the lyrics. And I was like, and it's so funny because then they brought her on and then, you know, Elvis Duran in the morning, whatever. Yeah. They were all, and I didn't know he was gay for the longest time.
Yeah.
You are homophobic, making fun of her like that.
Totally.
I don't think anybody knew the magnitude of what she was capable of, obviously, in 2008.
No.
Reading her. So that was my first memory of being introduced to her.
That's insane. Okay, next up we have, what was the moment that made you each a fan? Song lyric, performance, interview moment. And this is from Lisa P. Heart, heart, heart. Back at you, girl. Oh,
hi,
my God.
Lisa.
Look at the dog in the thumbnail.
Oh, adorable. My God.
Oh, God. Okay. So that was the first time I heard her. And I remember loving Just Dance and Poker Face. Like, it was interesting. But to be honest with you, I don't think people understand at the time. And maybe it was also our age. Because I think maybe people older than us, it may not have hit the same because they had this moment when they were younger. And something I have learned is, like, if there's any children listening, cover their ears. Not because this is inappropriate, because I don't want to ruin something. But it's like, it's almost like the believing in Santa complex, where when you're in your late teens and early 20s and you're so emotional and you're so hormonal and vulnerable, the music you like rarely does. Like, it's that Santa thing. Yeah, once you know, Christmas doesn't feel the same. And we were peak age. I mean, you figure I was 16, 17 in 2008. In 2008.
Were you really?
16 in 2008.
Okay. Yeah, I was in...
You would have been 13, 14?
Yeah, I think so, because I was 8th grade.
Yeah.
7th, 8th grade, which, about.
That's crazy. Honestly, it's not that I loved it, but I couldn't comprehend it. Like, I don't think my brain could literally wrap my head around what I was hearing, because there was nothing like that. There was nothing else like it. Beyonce, Single Ladies, and Rihanna, and it had certain sounds, but it was more, it still had air of either bubblegummy or R&B references. There was not this electric, dirty, acidic synth pop like she did. So I couldn't wrap my head around it. I think with Just Dance and Poker Face, girl, it wasn't a Love Game. It was Love Game. And talk about lyrics. It was, it's complicated and stupid. Got my ass squeezed by sexy Cupid. That lyric in the beginning, like the funniness and the humor and the whatever. Yeah. Love Game, I was just like, I'm gay and I want to marry this person.
Yeah.
It was Love Game for me.
I would say that it made me a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I mean, I was a fan really during, I will admit on this pod officially, I was skeptical of her. Seeing all the interviews of her at first, very tan skin, white blonde hair, blunt bangs.
Totally.
I was like, she's trying too hard to be a pop star. Whoever this is.
Totally.
She's trying way too hard. Her image, you could tell she's being put in things.
Oh, you were even a bitch in 8th grade.
Yeah. And I was like.
Even in 8th grade, you were like,
I was like, she's trying way too. And I was like, she's cool. I like it. I can vibe with the music. But I was like, her personality, it just like, I feel like she's being put in the clothes. She's not having fun.
Absolutely.
And then it was the moment that I knew that I fell in love with her and I was like crying was the HBO Monster Ball documentary.
Wow.
When
was the Fame Monster out yet?
It was already out, and Born This Way was coming out.
Oh my God, you're a little late bloomer.
Well, in a way, yeah.
Yeah, because I
loved
this.
I loved Fate. I had all the CDs. I had Fate Monster, and I had them all downloaded. But there was something when I say like I became a fan.
Exactly.
I mean, when I became like a little monster,
you would like take a bullet.
I was like, I really, because I felt like there was no more of that questioning. Is she just doing this to be a pop star?
Or is this who she is?
This is who she is. Because when she, in the beginning, she was like, I just want to be a queen for them. And she's like, sometimes I feel like a fucking loser still.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, looking, and I was like, wow. And she was like getting choked up. And she was like, I just like, she's like, I'm at Madison Square Garden and I still feel like a fucking loser.
I know. I love that document, that, that. And the tape of the
and
concert.
And the speech after after Love Game. If you're not pretty enough, thin enough, can't sing well enough or dance well enough, or like you'll never win a Grammy.
Of course.
That whole speech, I have it memorized. If I hear the beginning of it, I know every word. It's just it's burned into me.
Totally.
And that is when I became a true fan, was the Monster Ball documentary.
Even, so I will say, that Love Game is what hooked me. And then kind of, so I had a friend way back in the day. Shout out to Matt. He was like my music curator. He was like a guru. He knew every up and coming person. He turned me on to further into Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Teenage Dream era, even before that, Florence and the Machine, Ellie Goulding. Mm. Like he just knew Lana Del Rey, like anyone. Yeah. And we're talking the minute they came in the scene. And I'm almost positive Matt saw Lady Gaga when she performed in New York City before she was even, the Fame was even out. Like he knew people way before. I obviously liked her. And then when the Fame came out, him and I were like inseparable and like best friends at the time. I was probably at that point almost like senior in high school I would have been. And it, to be honest with you, I didn't have that feeling of like I would take a bullet for this person until I heard the Fame Monster. And when I started to hear Monster, Dance in the Dark, So Happy I Could Die, I was like, this
Dance
person is like
dark.
Because Gaga even said this, if you don't know, like Gaga said the reason her first album is called The Fame is because she admits that whole album was constructed, the way she dressed, the what she did, the whole nine yards, was literally constructed to become famous.
Yeah.
It was all a commentary on, and it was all, every song is about the best parts of fame. Attention, paparazzi, money, honey, all the glamorous parts of fame. And she was doing and sounding and dancing how she needed to get famous. It was all like this performance piece, which was insane. And then the Fame Monster was all the dark sides of fame. It was Speechless was about touring so much that she didn't know her dad was sick. And every single song on the Fame Monster represents a different vice. So Happy I Could Die, I think, is drinking. But it was like drugs, alcohol, sex, addiction. Every song represents something different. I don't know about teeth. I think sex, to be honest. I don't remember.
It might be,
But sonically, especially when Speechless came out, which I think was like, it was a single, but like ish, it might have came out a little before.
Yeah,
the
like
EP.
There wasn't like a
really
video
for
it. Like it wasn't like a true, at that time, every single had a video.
Mama. That's when I remember, and I was a theater kid. So even my best friends at the time in high school, we all were like, oh wait, like, this bitch can sing.
Because
like,
she was doing it live. When she was doing Speechless live on that piano, I was like, clutch my pearls.
Like, I'll never forget my friend Jeanette showed me, I went over her house, and she said, she's like, have you heard this, like, new song? And it was Speechless by Lady Gaga. And Jeanette, my friend Jeanette, shout out, one of the best singers ever. She was like, have you heard the song? And it was Speechless. And that's, we were both like, oh, wait. Like, this isn't just, like, your pop star. This bitch is there's something going on here. She can sing.
Yeah.
And it was insane. And that was when I think that it shifted for me where I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Cause now I'm even thinking about it. Cause Dance in the Dark was so pivotal for me. Dance in the Dark really made me feel some type of way. Mm-hmm. And it was on repeat for me. And it's still one of my because Die Hard Fan was probably like when I fell in love with her.
Yes.
But her music was Dance in
exactly.
the Dark. Exactly.
There's like so many phases of it. Cause that's what it was. It was like falling in love with the music, falling in love with the artistry, the outfits, the
and
persona,
the person behind it all.
I am so grateful she was the person in that time, especially obviously being gay men. Like we'll get into that. But fun fact, you and I, before we met, we have the exact same Born This Way tattoo.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, that's
I forget
right.
that. It's the it's same size Born This Way font that's on the single.
The single
cover
for Born
artwork.
This Way.
Mine is on like my hip area.
Yeah, mine is up above my heart.
Yeah. So tell me we're not gay soulmates.
Literally.
Yeah. Next up, we have, I'd love to hear about how you guys were introduced to her and why you think she has had such a strong influence on the LGBT community and has become a gay icon while being straight, which I will say she has said she's bi. I don't want, you know, people to get mad at us. I want to hear about your unique history with her and how she has impacted your life. Love you both. Thank you for sharing your stories and advice and giving us truly honest insight to the beauty community's nonsense. You got it. Oh, we have no name here. This is Noel. Thank you, Noel. Okay, so we touched on some of it, but I will say we were kind of almost about to launch into it, the LGBT aspect of it. I mean, it was insane. You have to realize exactly. It was like to the point that even anything that was slightly had anything of a gay undertone, Just Dance, getting made fun of on the radio. And it wasn't even explicitly
by a gay,
gay
man.
Exactly. I don't know. We talk about all the time where I was listening to a podcast, I think. It was it Trixie and Katya recently? And they were saying, they were like, they were talking about comedians. And they were like, when you're young, gay men, like, they're like, it's so funny when you hear straight men or whatever say, like, women aren't funny. And it's like, that's so odd to gay men and obviously women. Because, like, my whole childhood, teens, and 20 was finding women funny. Women gorgeous. Not sexually, but women gorgeous. Women iconic. Women.
Yeah. I never looked at men as iconic.
Girl.
Which was so funny.
There's one man for every 20 in my book. I've dissected this before, and the way I can distill it, because I've been asked, like, why do gay men idolize women, I think. I always like to call it being bilingual when you're gay, because you understand, like, there's aspects of your brain that operate like a woman, and there's aspects of your brain that operate like a man. This is my experience, not everybody's. But that being said, I think gay men can look at women like Whitney Houston and Celine Dion and Gaga and Beyonce and Mariah Carey. When you remove the element of sexual desire, and obviously there's good aspects of sexual desire, but not that lusty, like, ew, I want to do her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was something more.
Gay men look at women.
Idolized.
Like actual Greek gods.
Yeah.
Like literally a god. And there is no pretense, because I think a lot of the times that sexual desire blinds you from certain things.
Yeah.
It blinds you, the lust, that's the lust, blocks you from seeing someone sometimes fully as they are. And I think with straight people that can happen every now, just like gay people with other gay people, et cetera. But I mean, especially because gay men on top of it love, I think we're very culture obsessed in the whole nine yards. It's part of the package. But with women, there's that thing of like, you are literally a god to us. So there is that culture where it's just an obsession. And to have this person more than even maybe like a Madonna, who was very outspoken about LGBT equality and the AIDS epidemic, the whole nine yards, in our time, to have this person, when Born This Way came out in the whole nine yards, to make an entire album being the mainstream person, being the Taylor Swift of then, being the Olivia Rodrigo and the Billie Eilish of that time, to dedicate her entire body of work to LGBT people. It was insane.
And even, I would even argue the fact of how, I'm going to call it iconic, that even Telephone too, because I feel like that was so something that was like a gay awakening for so many people. And like, that's what I'm talking about. That's
girl.
Like the icon level of like Beyonce at the time, anybody that she was collabing with, clearly it was no joke. Like, and it was serious.
No.
And I was like, that was for me too, such an iconic moment, especially that video and everything was just so, it wasn't a gay undertone.
No.
But it low-key was, with like the two prison guards and everything. Like, it was like, I told you she had a dick. Like, she made jokes about what everyone was saying about her, that she was a hermaphrodite or whatever. Like, it's just amazing that she basically took the piss out of what everybody was telling her.
Absolutely.
They're like, oh, you're a man or whatever. She was like, and so what if I was?
Yes.
And she said that to Anderson Cooper.
I know.
She was like,
another gay man.
Yeah. She's like, would it matter if I did?
Yeah.
She's like, and she's like, does it really? My fans don't care. Why should I?
And that's what it was. It was like seeing this woman that was so undeniably talented and so successful, not even thwart away that kind of shit in a defensive way.
Yeah.
It was just like, I'm so famous right now. I am so the moment. I'm not even going to bother answering you.
She was like, whatever.
And it was the power none of us as gay people ever had.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. It was like, here's this person that is our self-proclaimed leader just whipping it out, no pun intended, and saying, I don't even have to answer you if I don't want to, because you're an asshole saying what we always wanted to say.
Yeah. I don't understand the question, and I won't.
And I won't answer it.
And I won't answer it.
And I won't respond.
Yeah. And I won't respond.
It was just unbelievable. Like, all right, next up.
So Darren wants to know, I want to know the moment or music video, look, special appearance, et cetera, for each of you that solidified Gaga as an icon.
I mean, I love the Love Game video with those crystals all over crystals her face.
And the whole, like, the lavender
blonde.
She was so
beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it was the Bad Romance video. To be honest, I mean, I love Bad Romance video. Alejandro music video. The Alejandro music video when she was in like the, it was very religious undertones in the whole nine yards. That's when I was just like, oh.
That's what solidified
this woman
her
is,
as
to
an
me,
icon
that's
to you?
When I knew, like, she's not going anywhere till she dies. Like, she will never fade out.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Okay, that's interesting. Because I feel like her pivotal moment of, like for me, that solidified it, her as an icon for even everybody else, they're like, you can't deny that she's not fucking iconic, was the meat dress, was the VMAs showing up in Alexander McQueen in a full-fledged look. And then all of a sudden, now you're sitting in your seat and you're sitting in raw meat. And Drake was like, and Justin Bieber, Rihanna, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, everybody was looking at her like in like complete, like as if she was dragging a dead body on stage with her and like plopped it down. And like just her wearing raw meat, and people the whole night were speculating, is this really raw? Is that really meat? Is that a fabric? Like I just, there was something so shocking about her that she was like, I'm not going anywhere.
I know.
And the message behind it too was about like, don't ask, don't tell too, which is again,
that they're not just pieces of meat that can die for our country, but they can't say who they really are.
Yeah. Yeah. And so again, iconic.
Opinion about that night, that VMAs, you know, the meat dress obviously gets all the attention because it was a meat dress.
Yeah.
Mama, it was that other Alexander McQueen look that for me with the feather, with the
thing. With the feather going down the middle part of her hair.
That to me,
that dress was
might
stunning.
Be, and even the makeup, the hair that faded into the white blonde into the blue, was to me one of the most beautiful she's ever looked.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. Yeah,
absolutely stunning. Yeah, Billy B did that makeup, I believe.
Which. Okay, quickly, we'll touch on it because a lot, we were kind of on the fence. We were like, because there was obviously a lot of questions about like your favorite, top three favorite makeup looks, your worst three worst three makeup looks. We didn't want this episode to be like the way we do, like, let's say Makeup Police, where it was just us analyzing makeup looks the whole time. We kind of wanted to talk more about all of our knowledge.
The career and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we might do a separate one. Specifically, or even a Patreon when we start rolling that out. But I will very quickly say her greatest makeup looks from her entire career have been by Billy B. He was
Billy B and Val Garland.
Val Garland.
V-Neal.
Yeah.
Like, and they have done very, very little bodies of work for her. But
I would say Billy B did the most.
Billy B did the most outside of like album covers and things like
that. Exactly. Because V-Neal and Val Garland, they were their album specialty. Covers. Was makeup like, artist. Yeah. You're like, I need you for my album cover. But Billy B, I think he did this makeup. He did all the horns. He did. Oh, he did everything end of Fame Monster into the beginning of Born This Way.
Wow.
And I will also say, for me, another thing that started to really make me realize it was when Gaga came out, you have to realize, like, just look at pictures of celebrities. Anybody, any other celebrity other than Gaga, Google pictures of them in 2007. 2008, 2009, and then Google the same celebrities in 2010, 11, and 12. Katy Perry wasn't wearing a blue wig. Nicki Minaj wasn't wearing a pink wig. Beyonce wasn't wearing a colored wig. Everyone and their mother, after Gaga, had to rise to the level of Gaga.
I love seeing those comparisons of like all the big, like you just said, Rihanna, Katy Perry. I mean, anybody that was wearing a colorful wig. It was after Gaga had already like stomped on the like and was like, oh, no, I'm stomping out here in my pink wig and my yellow wig, everything. Yes. And yellow was like she came out in that. She called it her urine blonde.
Yes.
And I loved that. Because,
I know.
And, but after that, it was just constant.
Exactly.
It was, yeah.
Everybody had to to rise to her level. Yeah. To keep up. So they all, everyone's hair all of a sudden became the crayon box. And it's like, and even at the time, her first, one of the biggest producers on the Fame was Red One. Even every other person's biggest song at the time, Nicki Minaj, Starships, Red One. It was all Red One then almost, he was big before that, but then started to work with all the other girlies. And it's like, I know Gaga didn't invent colored hair. We've had other whatever. And I will also say something that chaps my ass is when people always say, like, Madonna was the first Gaga. I think she was. I think, obviously, Gaga took references from Madonna. Girl, Madonna took references from Cher. Can we stop acting like Madonna created pop? Because Cher, mama.
Yeah.
Cher was a drag queen, yeah, as Gaga was different wigs, always wigs. I always find Cher, yeah, to be the blueprint for Gaga more than Madonna, to
I
be
agree.
Honest.
Yeah, because who was, yeah.
Artistically, maybe sonically and musically Madonna was.
Yeah.
But everything but the music, Cher.
Yeah, and I feel like Gaga always made it her own, though, too. Yeah, she took absolutely. References, but she always took it one step further. Mm-hmm. Because, in all honesty, she is taking it one step further. That's why she stands out to me in such a,
yes,
in such a different, unique way. Because I love Cher, I love Madonna, and I love Gaga. But ranking order, too, I'm, like, not the biggest Madonna fan.
Me neither.
Like, I she's all right, but, like, Cher and Gaga, for me, are just more... I don't know. There's just something about them that I yes, resonated more with them.
Well, and I think that also speaks, you and I have very similar taste in music in the sense that, like, it depends. I think we like vocals. Mm-hmm. We like our divas to be able to sing.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not a massive Taylor Swift fan. She's a great writer, but, you know, I need vocals. And Madonna is not a great singer. So... Cher has a unique voice, but Cher is a better singer than Madonna. Like, mm-hmm, that's why I really never resonated with Madonna. Like, yeah, I need vocals. I need, yeah, Celine Dion. Like, yeah, Whitney.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We have a couple questions here, all kind of in the same vein. You want to read it?
Yeah, sure. So this one is from Angela J. So in your opinion, what is the best Lady Gaga album and what was her flop album, if any? And this is from Lauren. She asked, I love her and your podcast so much. My question is, what is your favorite underrated song from each album? I have my own list and I'm just curious about what you think.
Ooh, girl.
So she says Fame is Paper Gangsta.
Great.
The Fame Monster, So Happy I Could Die.
Great.
Born This Way, Bloody Mary, before the TikTok blow up.
Preach. Cred to you. You're an ally. Yeah.
Art Pop, GY. Agreed. Yeah. Joanne, John Wayne, Chromatica, Sour Candy.
Love.
Okay. And oh yes, just to clear this up too, when we talk about her discography, we're talking, yeah, about her albums, not like the jazz albums, anything like, no, that. This all is like, no, LG, like LG 6, we're going.
Absolutely. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And then we have a question from Logan. What album do you think has aged the best? I love that. Mm. Favorite Gaga song album, best tour? And then also he asked about basically her television career. Talk about her career shift, whether it was for the better or worse. Thank you guys for your questions. We'll kind of talk about this. Maybe best, worst albums. Underrated songs on each album.
Yeah.
Okay.
So best album? I think we agree Born This Way.
Yes.
100% is the best.
Yeah. And it was because for me, and believe it or not, that is why Believe by Cher was also my like gay awakening. Because
same.
It has the same sound. And this may sound so stupid, but this is my experience. When I listen to Believe start to finish, and I listen to Born This Way start to finish, I don't know, maybe if you... might not be able to relate to this if you've never been there. I am riding around on a bike or walking New York City at night. That is the feeling I get when I listen to those albums. I am in New York City, like in the Village. It is nighttime. I am by the best part of the city, yeah, when you get that same feeling from the city.
Yeah.
It's that is, though they've always brought me to the same place. It was that it had that
escapism.
Oh my God. And yeah, it was in the music of both of them. It was acidic and dirt and gritty, yeah, and rough. It had that New York aspect to it. You talk about underrated songs, which I know you asked for each album. We're going to talk about underrated songs on Born This Way to kind of cement why it's our favorite album. Controversial opinion. Marry the Night is my favorite single out of the singles.
Hands down,
girl.
And I could not believe
that was the last single because it should have been like the third, but anyway.
It really should have been. And honestly, we make fun of Mary the Night, the video, and how like campy it was in the, yeah, beginning. Like, but even the video, the, girl, emotions that you feel watching that, because it was, you're at the lowest of the low, and you're going through the changes, and you're going through this, like, the butterfly effect almost, like, where you start as this caterpillar, and then all of a sudden, by the end of the video, it's just, there's this explosion, quite literally, in the video, and it's just something so explosive. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God. It was, like, jarring to watch, and I was like, she's camping
it
up.
Roll the cameras.
And I was
like, we have free reign.
Oh, she goes, yeah. She goes, pulls the glasses down, and she goes, it's free rain. She goes, I'm not stopping.
There's an interview where they tried to make her stop filming because it was raining. If you watch the beginning of the Marry the Night video, when she's in the car, it's pouring rain. It wasn't supposed to be pouring rain. And it was like pseudo dangerous with all the pyrotechnics and the fire.
And all the camera equipment and everything.
And they said, like, they were like, girl, we got to shut it down. And she whipped her head. She was like, it's free reign.
Yeah, and she goes, I'll pay for it.
Yeah, she goes, I'll pay for whatever breaks. Roll the fucking camera. And that was Gaga at the time. It was unbelievable.
Unreal.
So that was my favorite single. Also, Love, Edge of Glory. That was on a different level.
Oh my God.
Judas, Gay, Fabulous.
Amazing.
Obviously, Born This Way. Underrated. I am, honestly, my most underrated songs on Born This Way are the Dirty.
Heavy Metal Lover.
That is my favorite Lady Gaga song of all time. Heavy Metal Lover.
Really? Oh my God.
Girl,
do you remember when she performed it?
And I'm lighting a cigarette and I am in the middle of New York City by myself at night drinking a fucking Cosmopolitan. Listen to Heavy Metal Lover. Yeah. That is my song.
I'm
going
to burn the cigarette out in your hand if you talk to me.
That is my song. That is Heavy Metal Lover.
When she performed that at.
The throbbing, it is perfection.
Yeah. I was shocked though when she did it at New Year's Eve. 2011
choice.
Because I was like, this is such a deep cut for you.
Yes.
But I was over there living, screaming on my TV. I was like, work, mama.
Yeah.
Because she came out with that. And then she did Marry the Night into Born This Way.
Yes.
She started with Heavy Metal Lover.
Yes.
And she was the last performance before.
I know. Of course.
Before the ball dropped. So I was like.
The 11 o'clock number. Yeah.
And she was in that giant ball. There was something. Girl.
Yeah.
Love
it's
her.
It was something about
Heavy
that.
Heavy Metal Lover, though.
Just the throbbing, pulsating. It's everything I love about Gaga in one song.
Yeah.
And, that. And then I will Electric Chapel, which. I think that
Electric
was on
Chapel.
Her list there. Electric Chapel, amazing. Highway Unicorn, parentheses, Road to Love. That is another one. The drums in that. The drum downline before. It's unbelievable.
Well, I was so disappointed when the Born This Way ball got canceled for the our leg of the tour because do you remember that was the opening track and the heaviness of the castle and it all just like she was riding in on the horse led by her dancers underneath and it was Highway Unicorn. I still get chills if I watch the video.
You want to talk about devastating? Either 2 days before or 2 days after their 21st birthday.
Well, oh my God.
This gay man. And it got canceled a month before.
Yeah.
Because she broke her hip.
Yeah. I remember it was, I had a countdown on my phone and it was 20 days before.
Yeah.
I was going to Penn State because my cousin was out there for school. So we were going to go see her.
To suck dick and cock.
Me?
Yes. Oh God, what were you like, 15? Just kidding.
Yeah. So my mom was actually taking me to the Born This Way ball.
Yeah.
She was like, if you really want to go. And she surprised me with tickets. And she knew how devastated I was. She was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like, okay.
And there was something. I also knew Gaga was on a different level too. Because my mom fucking stanned her. Like I remember showing her Bloody Mary and Electric Chapel. And my mom was like, work. Like, and that's what I was like, okay, this is also transcending generations and the whole nine. Yeah, Electric Chapel, Fashion of His Love with that sample from Nothing On But the Radio.
And I will argue too. This might not be
that was the gayest
hair
flip I have ever. Yeah.
The Queen.
The Queen. Absolutely. The Queen was amazing.
When I scream that in the car,
I know.
Happens at least once a month.
Bad kids. Bad kids.
I'm a bad kid.
I'm a bad kid. And
there's
I
just something.
Bible,
oh my God. It was every fucking.
Kid.
But even
every
Black
song.
Jesus Amen Fashion, it was just like.
Flawless. Girl, it's a perfect album. There is no skips.
It was.
I know.
And when she did that interview with MTV, remember Inside the Outside when she was talking about Marry the Night? Which she was talking about, she was like, and we finally conceive. And I was like, you are a psycho.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And she was like, I was walking out, and then she's like, and the lyrics just hit me.
I know.
And I believe that though, because she was
and
was
she turned
out
around.
Women,
she turned around at the door and she
gonna,
was like, I'm gonna marry the night.
And she
was like,
doing
we
to the
got
interview.
It.
Yeah. And then she's like, and then we finally conceived.
I know. Yeah.
And
she
I was
kooky.
Like,
yeah.
I love it.
Well, she's a theater kid. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was very much that energy. Okay. Underrated from every album.
The Fame.
The Fame.
I'm gonna go a little off the beaten path here. Disco Heaven.
I love it. That is a great choice.
Disco Heaven was
wow.
Because it's not on, it's on the deluxe version of the Fame. It's not on the regular version of the Fame. So a lot of people don't even give Disco Heaven credit.
Yes. You want to know what my underrated?
What?
I Like It Rough. Girl.
Girly pop.
I like it rough.
Do you remember the visual with that? That she just had a visual of the ball gag in her mouth? Like, mama. No. You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
No. Stop. No,
I don't. Fame monster.
I'm going to say Dance in the Dark because that I feel like wasn't as like a pop hit.
I got to go with Lauren here. So Happy I Could Die.
Okay.
I love So Happy I Could Die. Such a beautiful song, but it's also fun. It's... I love that lavender blonde.
Yeah.
It just had art pop, girl. Oh, art pop. The song art pop.
Mama. For you? Yeah.
Now listen, this is the episode because this one's for the real ones. We're gonna open up. I used to partake in the devil's lettuce in my early 20s. Uh-huh. In my early 20s. I feel like I stopped around like 22 because I like, or no, honestly, around like 21 because I like lived alone at the time and it was like, it's not the gig. If you're still on that train, take your little edible, put your headphones on and listen to Art Pop from the Art Pop album.
I'm not talking about no AirPods.
It's arousing.
I'm talking Bose.
No AirPods.
Bose headphones, mama. I need
Bose
bass.
Or Beats over the ear and listen to Art Pop.
The heartbeats from Lady Gaga, if you still got them.
I bought those.
Did you?
With the triangle diamond thingy on
she
the
She wore
thing.
Them in the Love Game video.
Absolutely, she did.
Yeah.
And Art Pop, the song. We could. Don't make my lace pop. We always joke around.
We could belong together.
Talk about the Muppets. Which could we also very briefly
the
touch
Muppets.
On? The Thanksgiving special for Born This Way was breathtaking. The Born This Way one. Where she was at the piano when it was more gothic and beautiful.
I played every Thanksgiving and Christmas because she does
you
White
get
Christmas.
It? I can't find it.
Spotify?
Oh, I meant the visual. I want the full video.
Oh, I know you can't find
it. I know. Fucking release
it on
DVD.
It was on ABC.
What the fuck?
I know. ABC. Why aren't we
Girl,
putting it out?
Girl, I would play that every Thanksgiving. It was beautiful.
Stunning. And she looked amazing.
Stunning.
That blonde hair all the way down with that soft body wave.
Stunning. And then we always joke around about the Muppets one the next year for Art Pop. Girl when
Miss Piggy had too much of a she had a hate for Gaga in that episode because she thought Gaga was trying to fuck Kermit. She thought she was fucking a frog. She said, "Not my Kermit."
I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, because Kermit and her did a song together. Song did they sing?
I don't know.
It was probably, GUI. And she's like, I want to be under that. GUI.
That
smashing his head into the desk.
Girl. Oh my God. I want to be under that for wrong.
Give me that.
Yeah, that was my ribbit.
Give me that green dick.
What the fuck is this? Like, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
What is this like? Art Pop special where she sang with Elton John. She did Art Pop on the piano and fucking Elton John with that fucking tractor trailer of a voice singing, we could belong together. We do it once a week.
I think we texted each other immediately.
While it was happening. Yeah.
And I was like, Johnny, please.
Help.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, there's also so many, which we'll get to, on Art Pop. Donatella. Fucking Mary Jane Holland. The list goes on and on. Joanne, I am absolutely with you, Lauren. John Wayne, and it should have been a single earlier than it was.
I actually want to say Diamond Heart.
Okay. Nice.
Diamond Heart was something that I just like coming out the gate.
Yeah.
I was excited because Perfect Illusion, you know, was there. It was the best thing that happened on that album. Yeah. But I would say for something like underrated songs was Diamond Heart.
Nice. Yeah. Chromatica.
You are never going to agree with me.
Probably not.
I know my song. You will never
agree with
me. I have
two of them because they're on the same caliber for me.
Mine are not on the same caliber.
Because they satisfy different things. Yes. One of them is an anthemic ballad. Fucking bring the house down. And the other one is...
Oh, shit.
The other one is... Should have been a single. Is the best dance record on the album, Enigma. is the anthemic powerhouse.
Okay.
And Replay. The dance.
Replay.
Replay.
Why the fuck was Replay not a single with a video?
Yeah.
It is a disco masterpiece. Literally Stunning. With a sample from and Diana Ross.
You are not going to agree with me. I know you won't.
What?
Plastic Doll. I hated it at first.
That's my least favorite song on the album.
I don't like Sour Candy.
I don't either.
Okay, so
she's not in it.
Because Sour Candy, quite literally, verbatim.
Girl, that whole sample.
Recording and everything was taken. It's not even a sample. You just stole the song at that point.
Totally. That
like no tea.
When you start listening to Sour Candy, go listen to Swish Swish Bitch by Katy Perry. There is 5 different pop girlies use that exact same music. And it's just
and
not.
And the whole recording was like someone else had already previously recorded yes. it. And it was like, you showed me that. And I yes. was like,
Ugh. Which, you know, what was fascinating. It was like the best part of that song, nonetheless, was like she said in an interview, which I wish they could have figured out a way to have made it more her. Because, of course, what was the only thing that was like already recorded from that song before he kind of paired it with that music was I might be fucked up, but I'm not. Whatever that mm-hmm. talky part, which fits so well in that was the Gaga I love. That I'm like, if that was more original with or more original music, what would that song have been?
Because that would have fit Chromatica more.
Absolutely.
And honestly, Plastic Doll, I think because I've said this since day one, I think I told you about this a very long time ago. Mm-hmm. I said, when I hear that, I have this visual in my head of Plastic Doll. Mm. Opening up in like an abandoned toy store, but everything is all clean, neon pink lights totally. All throughout the shelves, and it's her just thousands yeah. copies, like carbon copies
Would
of her
in such these, a good music video.
In these like plastic boxes.
I know,
and it's just like I could just see it like going the extra mile.
Do you also do the same thing I do, where when you listen to, especially, and it's only with artists like this, you listen to it because obviously we listen to it 579 times yeah. in a row. You. Create the whole music video in your head?
Done.
I do that all the time. I've done that since I was 7.
I've done it always. Even if there already is a music video, I would put my version there.
Absolutely.
And like how I would redo it.
Totally. Because even for me with Replay, what always killed me was like, I was like, this is such a dance song. This is such a her choreography, the whole nine yards. What I would have wanted, and I pictured it for years, give me Replay and I want the first half of the chorus to be the choreography. The second half of the chorus, I want the entire first part of that choreography to literally abruptly stop and do the entire choreography in reverse, as though you're rewinding the music video, but you're doing it in real time. Replay to give me that and do the entire second half of it in reverse. And that almost the way it looks weird when something's being rewound. Rewind the choreography.
Because like, even was the way so the music many, was working at the point, it was almost
it sounded like it was getting rewound. Yes, I know. I know, girl.
Mama. Oh my God, we're at an hour already and I love it.
That's what I mean. This is going to be a juicy one. And then we have Christina. Which Gaga song do you think should be more popular than it is? And which song do you think is overhyped?
I have my answers. So more, which song do I think should be more popular?
Replay should have been. I mean, everything we said was underrated.
Overhyped. Are you ready? Let's say it on at the same time. Because
okay. 3, 2, 1. Bad million romance. Reasons. Okay. The straights are coming for you. You know.
Oh, so are you. And you.
Probably more for me, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Million Reasons. Girl, people in their pickup trucks were playing that shit.
Really? No. You
Million Reasons?
More than Bad Romance.
Oh, no. Million Reasons was... Girl. They took
of
that horse...
all songs girl, on
they took that horse.
Joanne.
The horse from John Wayne, beaten to death, was Million Reasons. The horse's name was Million Reasons.
Guys,
and they,
I fucking can't with Million Reasons.
I couldn't stand it anymore because every performance live...
I just heard the other day on TikTok, she was like... It was like a video of that era or whatever. It was a clip of something. And you know how I always say F.O. Merman, but that's more when she does the like jazz shit where she fucking sings with no mic. We get it. You can sing enough. Where she fucking screams. It's that specific... character voice she uh-huh. does, which was in Million Reasons, that fucking old broad.
Stay away from me.
You're giving me a million reasons. Someone called it on TikTok the other day, and I want to find them and make out with them because they nailed it. They just go, why does she sound like Katharine Hepburn?
Oh my God.
And that is
every chance
that
you got, though.
That you give it me a million. I'm like, because, girl, this isn't your singing voice. Drop the character enough.
Talk
like,
about being a tryhard, though, because I really was so bothered. Because every performance when we went to the Joanne World Tour, everything she ended with, a Victoria's Secret fashion show, everything she ended with was Million Reasons.
Horrible.
Or no, I'm sorry. Not the Victoria's
Secret. She always ended with John. She ended with John Wayne. With that.
She did. I'm sorry, yes.
Which,
but yeah, she yeah. led with Million Reasons.
Totally.
She came out in the Victoria's rose Secret dress fashion. And she said,
at the Victoria's Secret fashion
they're
show.
They're serving Major Cunt. And then she's like, they're
naked walking down the runway. And she's singing about, yeah,
you're giving me a million reasons to let you go. Reason,
you let you go. Yeah. Kills me. On Joanne also, I think Joanne is an underrated song. Like, I think that should have been on the radio, especially the piano version.
The piano version is better than the album version.
Absolutely. And also that was done in one take. The piano version was one take.
Wow.
Guys, we could talk about this forever. We could go into the 5-2 documentary. That's an entire different podcast. Anyway.
Don't even get me started.
We watched that together. What was I going to say about Joanne? We both said at the exact same time, too. The canon performance of Million Reasons that should have been on the album. 1, 2, 3. Royal Albert Hall.
I always forget the name of it, too, because she's in that pink.
Yeah, I saw you trying to say it with me. You were like,
because the pink dress. Yeah. And
was she singing for the Queen or for something? Wasn't it a big deal?
Were they there?
I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
But anyway, girl.
But it was a huge deal.
Because
and
why? Because she dropped the Katharine Hepburn voice and she sang it like herself. So it was pretty and it didn't sound like Miss Havisham fucking last song on her
but
deathbed.
I wonder why is it that she...
Girl, she was on fucking Pluto.
This pendulum swinging of like, let me sing like an old crotchety. I'm the ghost. I'm the colonial woman ghost.
I'm the wig.
Yeah.
Literally.
Churning butter.
Girl.
Food.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. We have a question here from
Dr. Plague.
Okay.
Why was that so funny? Were you going to call them Joe Calderon because it's at the end?
I was going to like ask you a question separately and I didn't realize you were, I thought you knew I was switching to like I was asking you a specific question and the earnestness and how earnestly you said Dr. Plague. Oh, Dr. What? Plague, you brought us a lot of joy. Okay, to be honest, I don't think much of Lady Gaga. I know I'm disappointing for the queer community. No, girl, love what you love. No, but I'm a metalhead, work. I love to hear your thoughts on her drag persona, Joe Calderon. Let's make it quick, girl.
Can I?
That's when the wallpaper started to peel.
Can I admit something really quick?
Yeah.
So with Joe Calderon in the You and I video, I didn't, for the longest time, people were like, that's two different people. And I was like, yeah, it might be. And I was like, but it looks like her. And they were like, no, it's not her. And I was like,
girl,
guys, take it from me, I think that's Gaga.
I forgot that was like in the U&I video. That was like my least favorite part of the
with her yellow hair and yellow lip. With that, I was like, yeah, maybe
horrible
not. And no, and I'm not talking yellow like her beautiful yellow. This was
no.
Like this was mousy yellow hair with a mousy yellow blurred lip,
gray skin with a wig was the same color as the hair.
Yeah, and
yeah.
She that
and
girl,
the Joel Calderon of it all when she started rolling him out at award shows. Poor
when
Britney
she went
Spears.
To the,
poor
when she went,
Britney Spears.
She opened up the...
I am surprised Britney Spears did not source that, but did not cite that as a source of trauma in the piece of me.
Yeah.
In her book, Joe Calderon, that was like, that's when we started
scarring.
To get into like Miss Try Too Hard. The wheels started to come off the bus, which we'll get into it. Okay, we have a question from Anna Marissa. How do you feel about R-Pop? I wasn't sure about it at first, but it grew on me quickly. It's now my favorite album and such an iconic turning point for her career and artistic vision. We also have a couple other ones. Why did the R-Pop album not get the appreciation and respect it deserved from the general public? It's my favorite album, and I feel like people shit on this era of Gaga, but maybe it's just me. From Tara, we have another question from Lord. Is their handle. When, apart from Joanne, of course, did you feel Gaga was acting it up too much in interviews? Not necessarily being fake, but just you see her saying something that isn't really honest or authentic,
yeah.
If you will. Yeah.
And I'll say this.
So this is kind of the whole art pop era we're going to cover. Yeah.
Generally speaking, about the album of why I don't think it was received well, because let's think back. The album before for art pop was Born This Way.
Yes.
Then injury, hip injury. Now everyone is expecting this big return of Gaga, right? We just came off of Born This Way that we even said,
yes,
every fucking track was a hit.
There was no skips.
We come out to now August of 2013 when Applause gets leaked.
Yes.
And Applause is, you know, on the radio, whatever. And I'm listening to this. I'm like, oh, I was like, ooh, it's a little like birthday clown, like coming out to Applause, like as his last performance.
Do you remember that? What was that? Was it the VMAs?
The Applause letters
of white cardboard.
White cardboard.
It was, girl. That it was like the backdrop of it was like a high school theater.
Well, because I remember the letters white cut panels out on the VMAs when she had the white square face. And when it zoomed in on her, she was like,
yeah.
I can feel my heart
climb every mountain. Which I forgot she sang that at the Oscars, by the way.
That was fierce.
That came up on my TikTok today.
That was fierce. At the Oscars, fight me on that. I will say, honestly, so Art Pop, because I don't think it was received well, because we come off of Born This Way, right? So now everything is starting to feel like, oh, God, we have Gaga back. She's in this, like, Born This Way was in that deep, very, like, grungy era. And now Art Pop comes along when it comes out in November. And it's this joke of an album because, A, it was too weird.
Yes.
The visuals for
and
Applause.
And we're also saying a joke of an album too weird for the general public. Not
yes,
us.
Yes. Not us. As Gaga fans, I
living.
Loved it. There was a few tracks, though, like Jewels and Drugs, and there was a couple other ones
Jewels
that I just
drugs.
Like.
The R. Kelly of it all was questionable. That yeah. was like.
And I mean, why did we not, once everything came out with R. Kelly, why didn't we just take the Christina version and put that
put
on the album?
Put it on the album. Even to Dumb. This day on Spotify, it's not on there.
It's not
put
on there.
The Christina version on the album. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I know.
The general public really didn't understand the vision of the album because even during the art rave,
it
she
was
said,
too experimental. It
yeah.
was, and it sounds crazy to say.
But it aged 10 years later.
Girl, someone asked which one of her albums aged the best.
Art Pop.
It's having a resurgence of, like, people, I think, younger generations discovering it now and being like, what the fuck? Like, y'all didn't
been?
Love this? Yes. And that really was.
Y'all slept on her.
And that was us back in the day. Us gays were back in the day like, guys, why is no one standing this?
I graduated like, high school when this album came out.
Yes.
And it was 2013. Yeah, 2013 was so. I just remember it being that still that weird time in my life. So I just mm-hmm. like that. And it was still that grungy, dirty, like Born This Way. But it was different. It was more electric. It was like that very like.
Oh, it was EDM.
It was in your face and with yes. Zed and every DJ White Shadow. And they, but Zed was
Zed
the one that was killing it on this
Zed
album.
Zed produced Aura, Donatella, GUI, some of the best. I mean, GUI, I think, has the best bridge of any Gaga song. That I don't need to be on top because I want it because I know the truth.
I mean, like, I'll say the video was a choice having Andy Cohen as the son and having the Real Housewives play the tambourine in the background. But, you know, it's
I know. And so I will say as well, I think another reason Art Pop did as badly as it did was because what was so devastating as Gaga stands, and I don't know if you felt this way, was like, for me, that's when I was seeing this person. And honestly, it's sad. I feel bad for her because it's when I realized that this god, this goddess was human. And she was, for the first time in her career, unsure of herself, walking around blindly, feeling her way through things, making choices and changing her mind. And it was so unlike her because the fame monster and Born This Way were like
unapologetically definitive.
It was rolled out every single decision, every wig, every makeup look, every music video, every outfit, every performance was done as though it had been planned for 45 years. It was that sure of itself. And then I remember I was in cosmetology school when Art Pop was coming out, and I remember getting a Facebook notification on my iPhone saying Lady Gaga updated her cover photo, and I clicked on it, and it was before any single had come out, and it said Lady Gaga yada yada single Gypsy with the date. And I said to my friend, I was like, oh my god, the first single's called Gypsy. Went to show it to someone else again. Half hour later, taken down.
Yep.
And there was a lot of behind the scenes bullshit that went on with she fired her manager, the record label, but it was a lot to do with her manager and her personal team. There was so much tumultuousness that I think there was like five different songs they wanted for the first single, and they changed their mind so much, and it was just so uncertain.
Yeah.
And it came across in every step. And I think even for fans, we were like, what's happening? Like, and then we started making the Do What You Want music video, which got shit canned because it was like weird, and it was like the era undertones was a
in
mess.
That, yeah, the undertones and I would say the whole
it was a little
era,
yeah,
were very like you said, very unsure of herself, and she felt disheveled. Her makeup and everything, she would just go out with like her shaved under head with like paint smeared on her face, and I was like, I get what you're doing, but you look unhappy.
Exactly.
Every interview she did, she looked like she was on the brink of death.
I know.
She had no makeup on in some of these, and she had the dark hair, and whether she was high or not, but I was like, this is sad to watch.
She was baked out of her mind.
But even so, it's like she was baked out of her mind, where she was like, are you doing this to forget that you're about, yeah, you know, you have an interview right now, and you are baked, like you don't even want to be here. And then it was almost sad, as much as I don't like him, when she went to go on the Andy Cohen, like,
yes, Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah, Watch What Happens Live. He was like giving him an art pop makeover, and she was so drunk, and he kept laughing at her. He goes, "You are drunk." For Andy Cohen to make comments about somebody being drunk after his New Year's Eve debacle.
Totally.
The fact that he was like, "You are so drunk," and he was like trying to laugh it off. But imagine being a host of a show trying to reel somebody in, and they're just like, she was like giggling like they were in her bedroom, like putting makeup on. Like, it was,
I know.
You're at a televised event, and you are not, you don't know where you are.
No, she had no idea.
And your team is there behind the camera. Girl,
I know.
I would have been like, you need to, we're
get
not doing
together.
This. Like,
yeah,
call in another, get another guest.
Camera's down. Yeah. Because you know what it was? I think she crashed. It was a lot like Britney. If you read her book, it was like she crashed when they made one of their most unbelievable bodies of work. And Britney was the same way when she made Blackout with Gimme More and Piece of Me, and that she had had enough and she was crashing. And Gaga was rebelling and crashing against this meteoric. Because that's what I don't think people realize either. It's like other artists did not. Katy Perry, she didn't become Katy Perry until Teenage Dream. She had a whole album before that. And only people who knew her before that, who were Katy Perry OGs, listened to, what was it, One of the Boys? One of the Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was her first album.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was a beautiful album, but it didn't skyrocket her to global success.
No.
Teenage Dream did. Lady Gaga's first debut album and first single skyrocketed her to Beatles level. She was crashing, and it was like watching someone crash, like during art pop. It was like, and she was rebelling against everything.
And that's how I even feel.
I don't need to wear wigs. I don't need to wear makeup. It was just such a weird, it was a hard time.
Yeah, because it's that, and I feel like her team definitely influenced her at the time. And I imagine going through what she went through with her managers and her whole team, and how many people probably did get fired, and how many people were just like telling her, yeah, do this, yeah, do that. They'll love it. They'll love it, because
she has yes men around her.
Yeah, exactly. She's so talented, but sometimes she does rely on like, what do you think?
And she needs someone to tell her the truth.
Yeah.
She needs gaze.
Well, and she also needs someone to say, trust your intuition, because you're Lady fucking Gaga.
I know.
And you haven't gotten this far not trusting yourself. So why don't you go ahead and do that?
Absolutely.
All right. So this next question is up from Kelly. So I would like to hear your unpopular opinions on Gaga, songs, look, acting roles, etc. And or what about aspects of her career do you find underrated? This is from Frogwater237.
Love.
How do you feel about Gaga's transition away from camp? Like, her meat dress was iconic, but I couldn't see her doing like anything like that today.
Oh, this is a great one.
And then, so this comes from Ed. How do you feel about Gaga's shift away from making music and into acting and makeup in the past few years? Follow up. Have you noticed she's focusing less on being groundbreaking and submersive and more about falling into the sophisticated entrepreneurial diva role? I feel like she's coming out less and less for the LGBT community in a time when we, trans people especially, would really benefit from someone of that caliber standing up for us. Great gowns. Beautiful gowns.
Love that, Ed.
Oh, Ed.
Ed. We love you, Ed.
We love you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. So unpopular opinions about Gaga. So songs, looks, and everything.
Unpopular opinion. She did not deserve the Golden Globe for her acting in American Horror Story. That's my opinion.
Really?
No,
I disagree.
Girl.
I thought she was amazing in American Horror Story.
I thought she was okay. I don't know if she was Golden Globe worthy. It was very, it was too stiff. I didn't. It was very like.
I liked it.
To me, I don't know, girl. It gave me cringy vibes of like overacting like she did in her real, like in her personal career.
I hated
like,
her in Roanoke as the witch. And she was like, and I was like, this is Lady Gaga with way too much makeup
girl,
and
as
bad
the
dental
basement
work.
Witch, absolutely.
And she was fucking that man.
She said, oh, yeah, you like it, big boy?
I don't even remember that. I blocked it out, girl.
No, she was horrible on that. Oh, and that was in the 5'2" documentary that they were touching on that. Yeah. She was pissed.
Why?
On set.
Why?
Because something wasn't going her way or something. And somebody, like, it was somebody in her management team. She was like, I told you that's, like, not happening.
Yeah.
She goes, I can't work like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she had to, and that's why I even feel like she was just, like, kind of half-assing everything.
Totally.
Joanne on.
Totally.
And then she was like, I need to stop this. Like,
yeah.
From, like, all the Joanne performances, whatever. Unpopular opinions, though, I would say acting roles, House of Gucci was horrendous.
Her performance or the movie?
Both.
See, I liked her better. I thought she was, the acting was much better in House of Gucci than American Horror Story. But the movie was awful. The story was bad. Like, the movie House of Gucci was not a good movie.
I don't...
Even if she wasn't in it. Like, just the writing, the screenplay.
Well, the writing and everything was... It
Jared
was probably...
Leto was unhinged. We've talked about a lot when it came to the Joanne era. Because, like, we said the 5'2" documentary we watched together. You remember the scene with her grandmother?
She was going... Phone in her grandma's ear, staring her in the eyes... Had the phone up to her grandmother's ear, and while she was looking her in the eyes.
Showing her a song, her grandmother, a song about her grandmother's dead daughter. It was so awkward because her grandmother was almost like saying what fans felt. Like, they were like, this is a little too much. Like, in the sense that, like, you're not her. And she said in the Chromatica, in the Zane Lowe interview for Chromatica, she was like, I made that interview thinking I could, like, heal my father. But I couldn't, like, and it was so evident that whole time she was making that album for reasons beyond her own satisfaction. She was doing it for her family, and it didn't do for her family what she thought it was going to do. So in turn, it was just.
It didn't feel like it was a part of her career in a way, because I felt like it was such like a weird segue, because I do feel like there are. Distinct moments in Gaga's career where she feels like she has to prove that she could do everything and do every type of music and every type of look and every type of fashion
and
every type of this
and I'm screaming like, on the microphone, like what taking the mic away and like belting, like she's
I need to see you in jean short cutoffs and a crop top with your underboob hanging out to know that you're still Gaga. Like, what are you trying to prove to your fans?
Yes.
Like, we're here. Joanne, we were already there. I still bought tickets to see the show.
I know.
What are we doing?
And you know what it was? I think for a lot of people, it was like, can I have the wine? For a lot of people, it was like, especially for people like you and I, that we were, she was so revolutionary for us when she came out, because she was so eccentric and herself, and she made such definitive choices that when she like was during the Joanne era, when the whole era was just denim shorts and a t-shirt, and people started asking her in interviews, like, well, where's, like, why this now? Like, where's the fashion, whatever? It felt like to an extent, and maybe this isn't really how she felt, but it was how she answered during this time. It was always like, well, like, this is who I am. And it felt like a slap in the face for all the earlier years when she was getting criticism for being so over the top, saying, well, this is who I am. We were the gay people defending her, saying, like, no, some people are like this. Some people film podcasts getting in full drag to, you know, like, for her to just abandon all that and do this and say, well, like, well, this is who I am, was like, yeah. What the fuck? Like, we just defended you for how many years?
Yeah.
And you're just getting rid of that now. And it was very, I don't know. I think it put a bad taste in the mouth of super fans
in
that way.
You're trying to prove that you're a marketable thing to everyone across.
She was trying to be totally.
You're trying to be Maybelline, girl.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to be mass market appeal over here.
Yeah.
And like, you're Lady Gaga. You don't.
I know.
And that's even how I felt. I mean, even talking about...
To Ed's
question. I mean, I think, especially with the LGBT community, we almost felt like it was like you're stepping away from us.
Absolutely. And you're like, because
I need to go market myself to all the straight. I'm just
absolutely
the straight people at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Doing all my Joanne songs because, yeah, I did the thing for you guys a bunch.
Yes.
I did the rallies. I did the pride marches. Yes. I did all that.
I know. Especially 2016 on when LGBT rights and still are backsliding. It was like, okay, now we need you more than ever. But, and when we say like appeal to straight people, we don't mean like you guys that are straight. We mean like the straight movie executives, the straight music
that
executives.
Still that, didn't like her.
That girl, they still were like, she was trying to say to them, like, I'm not weird. I can be Natalie Portman. That's what it was. It was, I want to be a movie star now. I'm not that person. I'm not weird. I'm not weird.
Well, like, and that's what I feel
cast
like
me
it
in the
was.
Movie. And we were all like, okay, like, we're still like getting rights stripped away. We're still dying. We're still whatever. We're like, we need Born This Way now more than ever. And she was just like,
I have a question for you.
Deuces.
Because we know how Gaga likes to get into character.
Yes.
And I just thought of this for really the first time ever. Do you think, being that we know she's a very method, she has to break character, apparently House of Gucci and everything.
She gets drunk on Prop One.
Yeah. I'm going to fucking punch you. I'm going to punch you. She said that. Do you think the Joanne era was a product of her knowing she was probably going to get cast in A Star Is Born, being a stripped down version of this character, Allie, in A Star Is Born, where she was like the aesthetic of Joanne? Because she could have gone for the aesthetic of Joanne. She could have gone like very punk rock. Like she could have been like, it could have been a very punk rock vibe.
Oh,
it could have been very grungy still. Do you think that there was like a, there was a time where she, because A Star Is Born was coming out, that all of her looks were so stripped down, less makeup, less clothes, more real, realistic.
Well, honestly, I just looked up because Cheek to Cheek came out in 2014 and Joanne came out in 2016. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Bradley Cooper got the idea to cast her in A Star Is Born from like a Cheek to Cheek performance. So that seed might have been planted before Joanne. So you might be right. It might be like, I can be this folksy down home gal.
Singing Million Reasons where you're hitting it home because you're trying to be the country girl that everyone wants.
I know.
Here's my sinner's prayer.
Fuck off. Fuck you. No, you're totally
just
right.
Just another way to prove I love you and it's
LG washing machine commercial. It had a kazoo in it. That song had a kazoo in it. I'm bringing home, Brian. Just another day.
Yeah, just another
day. That's what we're talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Newman. Like, you've got to introduce him on an album. On the album.
No visuals.
On the album. No visuals. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Newman.
Brian Newman. Katharine Hepburn. That's what she sounded like. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Newman. Like, I was just like, who are you? Like, and it was just such a.
Yes. It was such a performance.
So hard.
A performance in the wrong way.
It was so hard to see someone that was so sure of themselves just flounder. Like, flounder. And I agree. I think even to date, I think the step away from the LGBT community and that kind of music and the support in that way hurt like a lot.
Well, because like, I really think she at that point said, I'm mother monster.
Yeah.
The gays won't go anywhere because they
know.
They know I'm really there for them, whether or not I say it, because I feel like that was her team in 5'2". And they were like, oh, do you think my fans are gonna miss the fashion? And they were like, no, girl, we they're gonna love it. They're gonna eat it up.
Totally.
And she was like, okay, like she gets so influenced by her own team. I'm like, girl, well, open your fucking eyes.
I think she's surrounded by a lot of yes men.
Yeah.
Like where you and I were watching the documentary together in my dorm at college.
Yeah.
And we both were just sitting there and she
said, we were like, no.
Yeah. They were like, do you think they're going to miss that? And the two girls, we're like, no. We were like, yes, absolutely. Yes.
I'm going to miss you in your unique fashion.
I know.
I can go out and buy denim cutoff shorts and the same shirt you're wearing at American Apparel.
Totally.
So what about your fashion is like unique anymore?
I know.
You're losing your identity.
And you had just gotten everybody at that point. Let's say you had just gotten the skeptics to accept your craziness, your eccentricity.
Because she doubled and tripled down by
that
point.
And then you just the minute you got everyone on board beyond your super fans, the general public on board, you then fucking made a 90 degree turn and said, I like denim shorts. I don't wear crazy things.
And she's over
this
here.
This is who I am.
Yeah. Like, and you were playing it so safe for the whole Joanne era, even on tour.
Yes.
Her whole tour, the craziest thing that she wore was a multicolored wig that was barely there.
I know.
And I was like, girl, what is this like person? Who are you?
I know.
I just wasn't even convinced at that point that I was like, is she ever going to come back from this? And I think that's why I was so desperate by the time Joanne was over.
Yes.
And the tour was over. Because the night that we left, we left the tour.
We went to the tour together. Yeah.
And we were driving home and I was just kind of like, you were driving me back home. And I was like, it felt like that interview of like, now what?
Yeah.
And because I was just like,
because we accepted what we were given. Like, we, you know, she made dinner. It was okay.
Yeah.
We were hungry. So we.
I was hungry. It was dinner at Cher's house that you can win now. So apparently.
I entered.
I was going to.
I entered. Yes.
And now I feel like with Chromatica being that, because Joanne was her sixth album. Mm-hmm. No, her fifth album. Mm-hmm. LG6 was Chromatica. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was a little bit of a backhanded slap too, because at the Chromatica ball, not one song from Art Pop was played ever.
I know.
And
she had the audacity, the tweet. She tweeted on the anniversary, wasn't it?
Of Art Pop.
Of Art Pop, and tweeted just, I don't remember Art Pop.
I don't remember Art Pop.
Which was weird. It was like, I don't know. It was like just a way to say like, and I know it was a hard time for her, but like so many people love that album and you're having this massive resurgence with it.
As for the part two, and you teased part two with DJ White Shadow.
Mama, she is the queen of making promises she doesn't keep.
I mean, the Chromatica Ball film, you know.
Yeah. And then even when Chromatica came out, which Chromatica was amazing, I think. I don't understand anyone who has anything to say negative about Chromatica, but it was during COVID. It was like, it came out 3 days before Black Lives Matter exploded, like the movement. So yeah. It just got buried. And then even on top of it, the reign of me of it all felt very like, I need a number one, so let's just put Ariana Grande on it. Like, it was just very...
It was almost, the part that was kind of heartbreaking too, because during COVID and everything, when this was happening, you know, they were promoting Rain on Me and they were in pools and everything. Yes. They were like, well, it's raining here and I'm at home and God, I miss you. Back to you in the studio. And it was just like so odd. It was
Charlotte Tilbury covering up a PR slip. Yeah.
Oh, which I got to tell you about that. I got tea on that.
Can you tell me now?
Yeah.
Can we tell the peeps?
Yeah. We'll tell you. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Okay. Let me finish this thought because we are the queens of not finishing a thought here.
Absolutely.
But the Rain on Me thing and all of that. And I almost wish her album, if it didn't happen during COVID, what would the promotion have looked like? Because there was nothing more that I wanted was to go to a gay bar or a club and just dance to Chromatica. Because I never got to until 2022.
My wedding. Yeah, that's where I made sure everything, because I was like, I've never gotten to dance to these.
Yeah, because it was I was in a gay bar and the first time I heard Rain on Me, I was like, oh my God, this is so weird. But like, wedding was the first time I ever got to like,
that's why you screamed when Babylon came on. I know.
Because I was like, oh, I was like, wow, the DJ's playing Babylon. I was like, this is your playlist. Duh, of course. Absolutely. And I had to check myself where I was, because I said, I've already heard Rain on Me. Yeah. I've already heard Replay.
Yes.
I've already heard Enigma.
Which of course he had a very strict list. And of course, because he was straight, all the Gaga songs are back to back. So when I tell you we got a fucking cramp, because it was
a murder on the dance floor.
It was Replay.
Yeah.
Rain on Me.
Yeah.
Stupid Love. Babylon. Donatella. Like, it was just the
back to back. Because I thought I was getting a break when one would end. And then it was Donatella. And I was like sweating. And I was like, I'm okay. I got it.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I know. Totally.
I thought I was going to pass out. Because that was towards the end of the night, and I was like, I can't do this anymore.
I know.
I was like, you got to fucking chill. You got to give me a break.
I know.
And then he played Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and I thought you were going to shoot yourself.
I told Casey to go up to him, and I was like, this is unacceptable. That was like my one do not play.
I remember you telling me that, and when I heard it, I turned to you, and I grabbed your arm, and I said, don't kill him.
I know.
So Charlotte Tilbury, before we move on really quick.
Yeah.
So
and then we'll take a break.
So the PR stunt
okay.
was a complete mistake, and it wasn't supposed to happen.
Of course.
So then what did they do?
Girl,
the
cover-up was like the equivalent of a PowerPoint.
No, and they literally... panicked.
Yes.
I'm at, like, mice scrambling when the mouse trap goes off and it's all mice. And apparently fucking panicking mm-hmm. because it wasn't supposed to happen. And then they put up those boo-boo fucking wanted posters for the lipsticks.
Yes.
Because somebody didn't put the lipsticks in. That they put the liners in.
Was fired.
Yeah. And then Michaela's reaction, don't know if she really knew about it, but like nobody had time to reach out to them because nobody knew until they started.
I don't think Michaela knew, because the reason I don't think Michaela knew is because my friend Christy, mm-hmm. she also got an MTPR package, and I know Christy. She's not an actor. Like, well, she would not
have. They mailed those out. So
that's
it's like
what I'm saying. Christy would not have been like, where are they? Like,
well, they wouldn't have mailed them out knowing they were empty. So the fact that they didn't know what happened, yeah, like, I don't think anybody knew. So, but like.
Because what you could argue, if you're not like a Michaela fan and based on Michaela's history, like, you could argue Michaela would fake it. Mm-hmm. Christy would not fake it. Like, she would not. She would, if Charlotte Tilbury said, we're going to send you a PR thing. They're not going to be in it because we want a wanted thing. So act like you don't know. Christy would break out in hives. Like, she would never do that.
And
because
look at it now, because we have heard not a peep about these missing lipsticks.
I know, girl. And they came in Ziploc bags. Robert Welch said it. I watched Robert's video on it. And he said, he was like, another launch had come out right before that. And it was in the traditional, like, maroon Charlotte Tilbury PR boxes. And then he was like, when they resent the lipsticks, they were in Ziploc bags. And he goes, if this was planned, why would they not have been in better packaging? Like, why would they not have been in a Charlotte Tilbury PR box? But yeah, they were so like, go to fucking Kinko's, buy a Ziploc bag, throw these goddamn lipsticks in and send them to the people who didn't get them as soon as possible. Of course it was a mistake.
Yeah.
It was a shit show.
I never laughed so hard in my life. I was like, wow, good one.
Alrighty, we are back with the last little segment. So we have a question from Hannah. She says, hi, guys. I would love to know your thoughts on the quality and packaging of the original House Labs versus the rebrand. Do you think that her music quality decreased as her focus shifted towards becoming an actress and a mogul? Another similar House Labs. This is from Michelle. My questions are about the makeup. What are y'all's favorite piece of makeup from before the relaunch and today's line of the makeup? And if y'all had to pick one thing from her makeup line, what would it be? Basically, thoughts on original versus rebrand. Packaging.
Packaging, stunning first time.
Absolutely.
This time, cheap and
generic.
Reductive.
Yes. Generic. Not reductive, little Madonna. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Like, no, I agree. It was the like, first round of packaging.
Formulas
was her.
Are better this time.
Totally.
Packaging. For the most part.
Yes.
I will say packaging the first time felt like Gaga.
Absolutely. Black studded.
The pyramid points felt like Born This Way. It felt like Born This Way packaging.
You better believe.
And so now I feel like that it's like all colorful packaging. Like, where's all like the, it doesn't feel like a pro. I would never put these formulas in my kit looking like kids makeup.
Totally. So the packaging was better the first time. The formulas are better after the rebrand, but the formulas are better after the rebrand, but the colors
essence
and the risk is not there. Like, so, we were even saying about those lip oils, like, they're nice, but like, mama, I don't want 50 shades of beige.
Yeah.
They're nice, but I want bold colors. Yeah. Like, give me fun colors.
Hot Rod was, so this is the dupe of Hot Rod that she was wearing for the Met Gala. This is the Revlon version of it. And Hot Rod was her neon pink. And she had oranges, she had red, she had berries, she had browns, all that in those Le Monster lip crayons. Now relaunch, you have red, peachy beige, brown.
Those Le Monster lip crayons that they sent me with the lip, are those all the shades?
There's more shades.
Is there a bright pink like that?
It's shimmery now and sheer.
Why the fuck would you get rid of that? I know.
And it was such a, and I have all of them too. So I will say that I do think while her music quality was decreasing, she focused so hard on Chromatica.
I know. And Chromatica was such a bop, but it's like, you know what it is too? And even watching the Zane Lowe interview, go watch the Zane Lowe after this. Zane Lowe is the best interviewer of musicians.
Yeah.
And he interviewed her for Chromatica. And I get it too, because I think being an artist is really hard. It takes a lot out of you. But the story of making Chromatica was like, she was like, every day I was upstairs, I was outside chain smoking.
I was
and
on
crying.
My porch and I was on come my off deathbed. My porch.
I was on my deathbed and Blood Pop had to drag me down to the studio. Like, and it gets to the point that it's like, if it's this arduous for you to make,
don't do it.
Don't do it. Because it's like, it's to the point, she has this weird line now, straddles it when it comes to makeup, when it comes to her music, where it's like, she almost looks at her fans now and it's like, I almost died for this, so enjoy it. And it's like, well, then don't do it. Like, yeah, don't, like, we didn't ask you. Like,
we don't
exactly.
Want you to be in pain like that.
If
so
you're going to make
it.
Us feel guilty over making it, we don't want it.
And also, if it's not that
now.
Good either.
Preach. Which that was the hard part of Chromatica, which is why, to be honest with you, I think a lot, and if you're a super fan, sound off if you agree with me, a lot is riding on this next album. Because to me, she almost got a get out of jail free card with COVID, because Chromatica was great. But COVID allowed her to make great music on the album. But what we expect from Gaga after that, which we were waiting for it from our, like, almost 7-8 years, we were like, all right, bitch, you made the music. You gave us another art pop. You gave us another Born This Way. You gave us another Fame. Where's the fashion? Where's the music video? She got a get out of jail free
and
because of COVID.
That stupid love video.
Girl, shot on an iPhone.
Literally iPhone 14,
totally
Pro Max.
Yeah. the Apple commercial. She got to get out of jail free. And she almost was, I guarantee she was to a certain degree, was like, oh, fucking thank God. Like, so now it's like, I'm sure we're going to get the sob story about how, you know, she almost died to make the next album. That I'm not going to criticize, because I get making art is hard, especially to her caliber. But it's like, you compare it, look at someone like a Beyonce that is makes dropped Renaissance and now is dropping Renaissance Part 2 of Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, which I love. Beyonce works just as hard as Lady Gaga does.
Yeah.
But Beyonce carries herself with like a, here you go, and sits there on the throne and goes, enjoy.
Yeah.
And there's a confidence to it. And it makes you enjoy the music better because they are so sure of themselves. Yeah. But when it's the equivalent of like making dinner for a first date and flexing that you're a great cook and it tastes amazing and they love it versus like, I hope you like it.
Hope you like it because I cut my finger off and I burned myself on the stove.
There's blood
stove.
On the chicken. Yeah. Like, it's like you're eating it. You're like, like, was it worth
and then you're like
eating?
It's so good.
I know.
We love you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And,
that's
and
exactly how it
to
feels.
To be honest
yeah.
with you, I feel like that's almost a symptom of she doesn't believe in it. So she feels like she needs to give a sob story with it to make you like it. So that she's like, you know, no one will be mean to me about if they don't like it because I'm telling them I almost died.
It's her like bully victim, you know, complex. She was thrown in a trash can by the girls at school. You
20 years
that.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, girl, you're an adult.
Wait, they picked me up and threw me in the trash can. I wonder if they really threw her in the trash can.
I want to see the receipts.
I want to see those girls say, I threw her in a fucking trash can. Yeah, I threw Stephanie in the trash can. And
Totally.
I threw her down on 87th Street.
It's
I threw her in a trash can.
And it's the same as Joanne. It's the martyrdom of it all. It's the martyrdom. Like, I'm dying on the cross for this.
For
girl,
Joanne. For sinner's prayer? You died for sinner's prayer?
If
come
you,
to mama?
Poor Florence was scared.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Poor Florence Welsh was petrified singing that song.
I wouldn't even know what to do if I were in the room with her and she was screaming at me like that. I would have been like, do you want to go take 5? Because you're shouting.
You're fucking, there's blood coming
They're
out of
this
your
far
mouth.
Away from each other. And Gaga goes,
I know. And what we're talking about, you remember in the Zane Lowe, she was talking about recording Free Woman, because I'm not free. So I had to put a wig, probably, I don't know how Blood Pop didn't walk out of the suit. Like, if I was Blood Pop, I would have been like, I can't do this. Like, he had to drag her down and she was like, I'm so not free, which I get it. I understand the plight of being a mega star like her. She can't go to the grocery store. But she was like, I'm so not free. I couldn't even sing Free Woman because I'm not free. So I had to put a wig on and pretend to be someone. We don't need to know that. Just release the music with confidence. Let that be your story behind the scenes. Do you know how many times I've recorded comedy skits, which I've made hundreds at this point? I'm getting back on the wheel. I'm probably recording one tomorrow, so get ready for that. You know how many times I've been 3 a.m., Barbara, towel on, flop sweating, in tears, Trixie Mattel wig when I did that transformation, 2 a.m., not sticking, ready to cry, but I can't cry because I make a bond. I don't tell you guys that. Because when I release it, fuck, I did it. I did it. Here it is.
It's
enjoy
done.
It with the level of confidence that I went into it. You don't need to know every fucking sob story about it because it dilutes the comp, then, because your music is trying to convey this message of confidence.
People don't need to know the details of what makes you strong. Just be strong sometimes.
And if you want to tell us about how it maybe took you a while to get strong, give us 5 minutes to enjoy the strength in the music before. But the difference with Gaga is before the album even fucking comes out,
she goes,
we need to see the heart monitor of a beep, beep. Well, she goes, we need to hear how you're ailing because it just never stops. And it's hard to
digest. Do you think she regrets any of her album choices?
Absolutely. I think she regrets Joanne.
I think she does too. She never talks about it.
No. When you watch the Zane Lowe interview of Chromatica, she practically admits, I did not make that album because I wanted to. I made that because I was trying to heal my family. She did that for every reason she did that was not for her in any way.
It was so
she
cringy.
Didn't know her. She didn't know Joanne. Joanne died before she was born.
It was so cringy.
It was weird. Like she was trying to inhabit. There was interviews where she goes, was like,
"I'm Joanne.
I'm Joanne."
Wait, do you remember? Oh my god! You just unlocked a memory. When she was signing, she was coming out of like hotels. You're like, you know how people always have like her vinyls and everything. She was signing it, Joanne. Not even Lady Gaga. Signing Gaga. She was signing it as Joanne.
I know.
And I was like, that's not even funny.
I know. Next question. Can you compare what you would like to see on her next album versus what you expect to see? Hurley from West Virginia. Hello, Hurley.
Hello.
What we want?
What I want is Born This Way.
I want
Born This Way level of creativity back.
I want creativity. I want celebration.
I want happiness.
Happiness. I want dance. I want freedom in the music. I want fun.
I thought Stupid celebration. Love was going to be that. I know. And it kind of was, but then she was like, I couldn't love anybody else because I was crying. So I needed to open up that door first. And that was Stupid Love. I can't love myself because I haven't let a man do that for me. But now I need to open the door to see another man to make me. Yeah. And then take off my wig, but put another pink one on and then do this in a desert. That's what I want. What we're going to get is some tambourine playing rock album, Sweet Sounds of Heaven. Part two, the remix.
Which isn't that the gag girl? She is the queen of like, if she meets an artist or collabs with an artist that has a certain song, she will then make an album that is that. Which, listen, I'm all for rock album from her because there was a lot of rock influence in Born This Way. There was so much electric guitar. There was so much, I mean, Electric Chapel and there was, but it was infused with her sound.
Yeah.
And I think basically what we think we're going to get is off her Instagram posts,
in the studio with the tambourines, the guitars.
No, David.
Ew. No, David, what's that?
There was a meme or a video on Instagram of like stitching. It was like Lady Gaga gaze saying, seeing the pictures where it was like the tambourine and the acoustic guitar being like, ew, why is that there, David? Because it seems like, I know. And
it's going to be like Joanne meets Metallica.
Oh, no. I can't, girl.
You thought Hey Girl was loud? Come to mama.
I don't know if I can handle one more. Because you know what it is? It's like, someone like a Beyonce that like, I think I would say I'm more of a Beyonce fan than you. Mm-hmm. Look at someone like a Beyonce that can fucking switch genres on a dime, but it's still Beyonce. It's so
she's
her.
Doing country, right? Where Gaga did.
She tries to be country that is someone else.
Hear my sinner's prayer.
It reeks of like I'm trying to appeal to other people who already like this rather than I'm going to do country my way and you're going to love it because you're me.
She did a dive bar tour for fucking Joanne. I know. Dive bars.
Singing on a balcony. With no mic, screaming in the streets, singing Just Another Day. Everyone went out and then threw coupons for LG washing machines.
Yeah.
Totally.
And it's just so
now that I'm an adult, Chromatica could have been her like fart nut in the track. And I was so depressed from COVID that like I would have taken it. But now that I'm like an adult and like, you know, that whole thing is worn off of like that, like we're saying the Santa syndrome. I don't know if I could handle another messy because she's older than me. Like, and she should like know herself as an artist at least.
I'm not.
I every day I wake up, I have to think about what am I going to create? What am I going to do? What am I going to say for millions of people? I'm different than other influencers in the sense or creators that I say to myself, I'd rather do nothing if it doesn't feel like me. And Beyonce's that way. You know what I mean?
Right. But I feel like Gaga just wakes up and she chooses to do whatever. I swear to God, it's like she leaves the TV on at night and those intrusive thoughts of whatever commercials come on. She goes, an album? She goes, I had this weird fucking idea last night. She heard the Nurtec OTC commercial before she
started.
What the
poop?
Yeah. And she said,
I know.
I think I have migraines.
And I don't know if I can, if I could handle another one. And I say that, and by that I mean, like, I genuinely, to be honest with you, it'll really affect my relationship as, like, am I a fan of her now? Let me put it this way. There's only so much nostalgia in the gas tank. And
yeah,
I felt that
I'm
way
not
for
holding
a long
my
time.
Breath. I'm really not holding my breath.
Because a lot of my love of Gaga is nostalgia. It's nostalgia gas in my tank. But we're putting here.
Like Chromatica was wonderful because I felt like it was going back to the roots a little bit.
But it was abandoned. There was no other music video.
Promised more.
I know.
Why even say that?
I know.
Why do that? Because now I'm more disappointed than you. If you said nothing, I would have let it go. Now you piss me off. And I do feel like, especially with her music career, she's kind of like done like the rise to fame, the dirty fame, the electric vibe, and then we're doing every genre, if you will. So now it's like, well, I can't do that again because I already did Born This Way. Born This Way is iconic and it will live on forever, but there's no going back to albums that like sound similar, where like Beyonce will do something that's like, it's a pop album, it has an amazing like dancing vibe. Multiple albums will have that vibe. Why does she think once she does something, she can't return?
I know. And even Beyonce, listen, Beyonce to me is the queen of, you might get mad at me for this, stealing. Everything is a sample. Everything is pulled from something. Even the other day, I just learned the Single Ladies choreography is blatantly ripped off from a Bob Fosse routine.
Yes.
There is nothing beyond. But you know what, girl? Whatever. She does
did
it with confidence. And at least
she did
but to a degree, there's a element of like paying homage to it. Like,
yeah.
But Gaga has this die on the cross mentality that's exhausting of everything I do needs to be original and fresh and I need to die for this art. And it's like, girl, I don't like, no, you don't. Like,
no.
Because it's not fun to witness as a fan anymore.
No, it's like, really, it's just become tiresome.
And the makeup line is getting that way, girl. Like, it's like, you did this Triclone Skin Tech Foundation that was amazing. It was revolutionary. It broke everything. And I say all the time, and I take it personally, where's the matte?
Where's the follow-up products of like, no, there's no full-fledged ideas of primer. Why wasn't there a primer with it? Why wasn't there a setting?
Also, your liquid eyeliner, subscriber, and I don't know if it was to the beauty channel or whatever, commented the other day on something basically saying like, when is she going to the liquid liner from the original launch
and
that was to die for? Just
House Labs, and every time somebody says that, they put the little two eyes emojis next to it.
Well,
like,
it's
as
been
if
not,
it's coming soon. I'm like, really? Because it's been, you relaunched House
like
Labs.
Like Telephone Part 3? Like, because we've been waiting for that trifecta. Like, what the fuck?
I'm done. Like,
it's just, girl,
I'm done with the, like, stop edging me because I'm so over it. It's been years.
You're totally right, girl. And I'm ready to walk out of this hookup.
I'm not doing it anymore, girl.
I know.
I'm at the seedy motel down the street and I'm done.
Girl, you have made me feel like a dirty pig at a Motel 6 long enough.
And she comes in the room once every 20 minutes and she goes, what?
I know.
And she's like, you'll like it.
I know, because that's the thing, girl. It's like, just, also, it's like your original OG super stans are like now in their 30s. Like, we don't have the patience.
Knees are giving out at the club. I can't be going all night no more.
Girl,
start putting out good music and I'll get a knee replacement.
Preach. Okay, now we have a question from Amy from Ohio. Who would be or has been your favorite artist for Gaga to perform with? And there was another question. I don't know where it ended up about, did you ever learn Gaga choreography? We have to touch on that. So these are our
last
questions.
That was in the beginning.
Did we miss it?
Yeah, we didn't.
Okay.
I guess we didn't answer
very
it.
Quick. The first choreography I ever learned in full. Same. I don't. And they asked us if we could do it. I don't remember it. GUI.
Bad Romance.
That's ambitious. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. No, I knew the GUI choreography.
I knew the Bad Romance choreography, and then I knew Judas.
That is hard.
Yeah.
The choreography and the fucking bridge of Judas is iconic.
Do you remember the Cher collab that they recorded and never came out?
Which I cannot believe they even entertained doing The Greatest Thing. Because that was like unreleased and it was like messy and it was like, I agree with you, my collab would be Cher.
Cher.
And especially Cher, I feel like just had that resurgence now with the DJ Play a Christmas Song.
No, I wouldn't call that a resurgence. I would call that people shit-talking her.
Do you know how fucking popular that song is?
Is it really?
Kevin, we talk so much shit about that and I stand by it. Because it's not a good
garbage.
Song.
It's horrible.
It's
DJ
not
Play a Christmas
It's not
song.
A good song.
What was the other one with Tyga?
I never even hit play because I couldn't do it. It hurt too much.
No, because you said we were gonna play.
Have a reaction.
Have
but
a reaction
we can't because of the
with
thing.
Patreon.
Patreon girl, we will react to Cher's Christmas album.
Because I've never heard it.
Oh God, I'm going to pop my lace. I can't. It's still a bad song. Do you understand how mainstream that song? It's like one of her, it's massive streamed. It's
what?
Up to her. She is now entering the lexicon because of that Christmas album in the vein of like Kelly Clarkson and Mariah Carey, like in Christmas streams. Her monthly streams have like doubled because of that Christmas album. I can't talk about it, but I would want to share a collab because I
Me
think
too.
Again, like we stated.
And I don't want an oversung Florence and the Machine kind of
let
vibe.
It breathe. Like, yes. Like let it,
it
just
it share.
And I want something with a disco infusion. Could I want something that harkens to Cher's a Believe sound.
Could you imagine the sampled Diana Ross version
replay.
Of like Replay?
Exactly.
Like a real.
I don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Yeah.
But I could see her singing.
Absolutely.
It. I could see her doing Replay.
Absolutely, girl. Oh my God, guys. Well, this is the end of our longest episode ever, but we had to. And
we had to.
I can't even explain to you. You may think we talked about
her.
Everything.
You oh, think well, we hate her.
I would take a bullet for her. Still,
I love her.
But it's because, like your child, you have high expectations.
She's and like a baby, a child.
Because I hug a baby. Because I know, like an Italian baby with like the meat sauce. Yeah. Meatball. And
she's Italian?
It's because we know what she's capable of. And honestly, the saddest part about it is so many of her missteps, which there have been a lot, are fueled by her not like believing in herself. And I'm like, bitch.
Yeah, Lady fucking Gaga.
What else do you need? Like, and it's sad because it's like how, like to have the acclaim and the notoriety and to have shifted culture as much as she has, how do you doubt yourself still? And that's devastating.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So that's that. And then moreover as well, like if you think we've even scratched the surface of
Girl,
what we could
just,
talk about.
This is just,
this was
it.
The spark notes. Because when I tell you this is a 2,000-page book and we just gave you the 30-page spark notes.
I mean, I'm not even kidding. I knew we were going to go over on time, but we are almost at 2 hours.
Yes. This was, we were like panicking while filming this because we were like, oh my God, like we're really going over. Yeah. Like, and this was us polling you guys for questions to keep us on structure, which we had none because we spent half an hour on the first two sections rather than out of five.
So
this
two.
Is why we are really entertaining Patreon because we could go into album by album reactions. And there's so many other artists. There's so Kesha. And that's another story I could talk about. That whole fucking girl's
career. Oh my God, we could do one on Kelly Clarkson. Gowns, beautiful gowns.
I am going. That Floral is going to be me tying you to that
beautiful
chair
gowns.
And making you a Kelly Clarkson stan by the end of this episode. by the end of that Patreon. Yes,
oh
there's
God.
So many things. So
Floral maxi dresses.
Plus just a whole thing of every makeup look.
Oh,
God. Oh my God, the makeup episode of Gaga. That's
from
a whole other thing.
I would like best and worst from each era. Oh my
Girl.
God. I have them on lock.
Yes. So thank you guys so much for listening. We love you so much.
Yes.
This was very fun
this
despite
very
it being
fun.
Midnight. Thank you guys so much for watching.
A brand
oh,
new episode.
Bobby
oh my God. Thank you so much for watching a brand new episode of Beautiful and Bothered. Make sure you subscribe to the official YouTube channel where we upload our episodes one day early on Sundays and streaming everywhere on Mondays. And make sure you give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you stream them, because that really helps us as well. Make sure you also like, comment, and subscribe, and let us know what your favorite question or look or I don't
fuck.
Girl, what am I saying? I think I'm drunk. I'm going to peel these lashes off. So wherever you are,
Spotify.
We hope you are happy, happy, safe, and healthy.
And remember,
you are beautiful. I don't feel beautiful anymore.
What? Love. What? Love.
Oh.